Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy?
Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above. The road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see. That it's a piece full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
They think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler? Tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi. Here at WFYL, working for your liberty, 1180 AM. We discuss issues which will create strong families who we believe create strong communities. We have current authors, exciting leaders, and cutting-edge resources and tools for you to use so that you can have the best family you can have. Okay, so housekeeping for this week with Your Family Matters, what's happening? You know that 1180 WFYL is a sponsor of the Love and Life 5K, happening tomorrow. It's here already for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center in the Muhlenberg area. It's from 9 to 10 tomorrow morning. Our weather is supposed to be fabulous. We are expecting a large showing, lots of runners. We also have walkers. We're going to have a fun run for the little ones. And it's not too late to sign up today online. Or show up tomorrow. Show up at 8:30 and we can register you tomorrow. All of your money, the $30 for the run, goes to Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center to help buy diapers, bottles, clothing, Christmas gifts, strollers, whatever moms need and dads need who are choosing life for their baby. So tomorrow, September 20th, is the Love and Life 5K for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center. I will be there. I'm running with my family. I'll be signing my books. And 1180 will also be there. And I believe Commissioner Christian Linebach will also be there opening up the run in prayer. So we hope to see you tomorrow. What a great way. I love these runs and walks. It's a great way to give back to whatever charity we're supporting. But also, who doesn't love exercise and who doesn't love exercising with your family? And again, such a great way to get our children involved with how they can be philanthropic and give back. So I hope that you will join us. I wanted to share with you my friend Anne Mateer, who was interviewed a few months back when we did our best beach reads for the summer. It's really hard to believe, again, that that was just a few months ago. It went by so quickly. But Anne Mateer talked to us about Playing by Heart, which is her fifth novel that she has written. And I just wanted to share with you all that that is out. She sent me a copy, and I did start reading it. And it's a great book, so I highly recommend it. It's by my friend Anne Mateer, Playing by Heart, a beautiful Christian romance novel, a little light reading for you all. I am so excited that this morning, my friend, Han Sol, is going to be with us, sharing what God is doing in his life. He is a really exciting person. My friend actually sent me his YouTube song. I did not know who he was. Again, Someone's introducing me to rap again. I think God wants me to be listening to more rap music is what I'm getting from this. But Hans, FKA Hans Soul, as he calls himself, in 1991, right here in Philadelphia, he was the second rap artist signed to Epic and Sony Records right here. He completed an album with them in 1993, and he was on MTV. He was on BET, BET Teen Summit. He was on Rap City. Do we remember Arsenio Hall? Can we reach back to the 90s and remember him? He was on Arsenio Hall's Party Machine, and he was in videos, and he was just the it man. He was on MTV Europe, and he was touring around, and he was having a great time, he thought. But all of this exposure, all of this success was leaving him, believe it or not, depressed, and he was doing a lot of drugs, and he was feeling really confused. And then in 1995, and I'm going to let him share more about the nitty-gritty and all of this excitement, but God grabbed his heart. I actually almost feel that he had like a Saul walking on the road to Damascus turnaround, you know, like Paul. He did a 180. And he started a new life in Christ. And he started Jesus Saves Ministries. And he started a production company. And now he is writing rap for Christ. And he really feels an intense need and has an intense desire to obviously get kids away from the violence that rap brings and the sex and the drugs that rap brings and bring them a new music that they can listen to. A real hope, actually. And he's encouraging them in his music to turn away from some of these evils that we know destroy children's and teenagers' lives. And so I'm going to play for you his song that was introduced to me from my friend. And I listened to this with my girls and with my husband. And, you know, I never do things once. We listened to it quite a few times. And then I called my friend and I said, you have to get me this gentleman's number. I need to have him come and speak to the masses. And she did. And I couldn't believe that Hans picked up his phone. I almost feel like that was God ordained. I know it was. And it just, this man is very, very busy. He's a high profile guy. He's married. His, and I just want to share with you that I couldn't believe he picked up the phone and that he's able to give us some time today. So really pay attention to the message that he has for you. But also, I'm going to share a little bit about what this song says, but then you listen to it. But it starts out, what if Mary would have had an abortion? What if she would have popped a pill? What if Joseph would have told her to have an abortion? The baby in your womb could have had a cure for AIDS. For you to take the life of your children would be a shame. It is not your body because your body belongs to God. And he's hitting on so many more important points. So really listen to the message-filled rap song that we're going to play for you right now.
Jesus saves me. Yeah. Somebody out there. Holy Spirit, come on in. Sis, I want to tell you a story. Young ladies out there, I need you to know this. Come on. Yeah. And a lot of people. Come on. Jesus saves y'all. Come on. What if Jesus? Yeah. Would have been aborted. Would have married. Yeah. Would have popped the pill. Come on. Would have Joseph. Would have told her. Yeah. To have an abortion. Then a lot of people out here. Come on, man. Yo. We be acting ill. I know you've been through a lot in your short life. And I understand. I know a lot of people told you. You should have never, been with that man, sis. I know you've been bruised many times, been used, and felt so confused, you may even feel like Mary, and the people out there just calling your name, just imagine that baby in your womb, mom, she could have the cure for AIDS, or he may be like Moses, leading souls to Jesus, this baby is alive. Come on, sis, you know, he's not just a fetus. Just look at the ultrasound, and you'll be able to see your own features. Jesus said before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us and called us all by name. So for you to take the life of your child, sis, you know, it would be a shame. The baby that's in your womb now, it's got a special purpose. I know the thought of being on government assistance and WIC makes you feel real nervous. But what if Jesus would have been aborted? What if Mary would have popped the pill? What if Joseph would have told her to have an abortion? Then a lot of people out here, like me and you, come on, we be acting ill. I know you're hurt, but there's no way that you can justify. It's really not your body, sis, 'cause you belong to God. But this world that we live in nowadays, you know, it tries to paint a facade. But all the pain will be broken when you see your baby smiling the first time that he cracks his eyes. 'Cause God loves your child, he created him, and really not your choice. Come on, the right to choose. I know you may think you're winning now, but I'm telling you, in the long run, sis, you're going to lose. You may think no one would know, but God knows. And just picture her hands and nails and her toes. A baby girl that bless your world. Don't throw it away, please. I'm telling you things that you need to just please. Listen, the very life that you may say may be your own. Who knows that a child could take care of you when you're old? You may be 15, 21, or in your 30s. Out of wedlock, being pregnant, you may feel dirty. But believe me, the pain you feel now, Jesus will heal now. Take away the layers of the hurt like banana peels. I can testify, have a virtuous life. Who had a beautiful child at 18 years. Now she's given her 12 years a smile, plus only a few months of tears. More trials, more smiles. Two wrongs don't make it right. I know you may be hurt from that date that night. Come on, you may want to escape. I know a lot of sisters may even been raped. Believe me, it really grieves me. God been touched by your pain, but the baby got a name. What if Jesus would have been aborted? What if Mary would have popped that pill? What if Joseph would have told her to have an abortion? Then a lot of people like you and me, since you know, come on, we be acting ill. I feel in my spirit, you may have had an abortion, but God told me to tell you that he's still there. He wants you to know that Jesus forgave you at the cross when he bore your sins, and he still cares for us. He took our judgment because God is love. I'm praying for your daily needs. God is love. Come on. Jesus heals your broken spirit. Listen to this music closer to the voice. You can hear it. I love you. Love you. Forgive you. Forgive you. I love you. Love you. My child. My child. Just call on me. Call on confession. Me. Open up your heart and I'll come inside. God's telling me to tell you that the baby need to grow. I know people telling you that you need to let the baby go. So he said there's a possibility for your child to be handicapped. But I think that the fact is, all people are special, fearfully and wonderfully made by God's workmanship. With the blind seeing, walk in a lane, whole or fragmented, God loves us equal. We have a right to life and his people are sane. Sad thing to see a baby being aborted and the camera show him on a fight for life. The child is still a child, he and she is not an it. The child has a body, a soul, and spirit.
I want to just come back and say that check out that song, Hans Soul, his ministry, his testimony. He's been featured locally and nationally with interviews on NBC 10, Fox Philadelphia, ABC's Visions. He's been on TBN. He's been on Bobby Jones Gospel, Story on CBN's 700 Club. He's the it guy right now because he's speaking about things that are unpopular. And he's speaking with boldness. He's a highly sought after speaker. So again, we're just so thankful that he is with us and he's going to share what God's doing in his life. This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters here at 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty here in the heart of Philadelphia. I already introduced a little bit about my next guest, Hans Nelson, FKA Hans Soul. You know that I am ridiculously excited to have him sharing with us everything that the Lord is doing in his life. I've already shared with you that in 1991, he hit it big. He was the It Man. He had rap songs. He was being interviewed around the country and even in Europe. But he had the dream. He was living large. But this was not satisfying his soul. And this is when Christ came into his life. And now he has done what I'm calling the Saul to Paul conversion on that road to Damascus, where we do a 180 and God just begins exploding our lives for him. So Hans, thank you so much for joining us.
Jesus saves. How you doing, Carla? Glad to be here.
Thank you. I know that you are such a busy man, so this is such a privilege to have you here with us today. So tell me a little bit. Start us back from all the excitement that was happening in 1991, and then who introduced you to Jesus Christ?
Okay, so in 1991, I was the first artist signed to Epic Sony, second to Epic Total, but first to Epic Sony New York. Actually, back then it was Epic CBS Records. I had a deal also with Def Jam Records, which I turned down for Epic. And at the time was the first Philadelphia hip-hop artist signed to a major label. And, you know, like many of us, you know, we look for fame. We look for things to kind of heal that hurt, that void, and give us self-esteem, things that we should be going to God for, we go to other things for, and that's kind of what I was doing. And I had actually been introduced to Christ in a dorm room a couple years earlier. But what happened was, like many times, you know, you get saved, but there's not really a follow-up. So I wasn't a churchgoer. I believed in Jesus in my heart, but wasn't attending church. And I wasn't being discipled. So I was a sheep amongst wolves, had the Spirit of God, but did not really, I guess I wasn't walking in a relationship with God. I didn't own a Bible, didn't go to church, didn't pray. I didn't know to do all those things. So I had said a one-time profession. And there was a type of a change, but I soon found myself doing what most kids in college do. And so that's kind of what happened. But in 90, so after many years in the music business, doing different records, shooting videos, et cetera, my life began to go through a severe downward spiral. And where I found myself, you know, receiving drug money to make records. The first record company was, again, Epic Sony, but the next record label I signed was Loud RCA in L.A. And, you know, each deal I signed, I saw myself getting into some darker circles, I'll say it that way. So in 1995, in the midst of what was at that time the most creative product that I'll say the old me produced, you know, I was very depressed. I was very much going through a lot of things. And I went to St. Thomas visiting my brother. And I came back in on an airplane ride, landed in San Juan. And I just cried out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you're real, heal me. And even if you don't heal me, just take away the depression because I don't want to live no more. And the next day, I found myself in church, and they prayed for me. I walked up the aisle of the church for the first time in my life, walked up the aisle of the church, and I joined the church, and it was an immediate transformation in my life, where within a few months, I was totally out of the secular business. At the time, I was living with a young lady and two ladies, but when I was in a relationship with, and within a couple weeks, I left there. And the Holy Spirit pretty much told me, you know, you planted on the sand, Now I want you yourself to tear all this down and tear this empire down that you built up, and I want you to tear it down and build on the rock. And that's when he gave me a vision to do the music and the films and different things to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and to spark change and to kind of expose the works of the enemy, because I was behind enemy lines learning how the enemy really hurts people through media. And I was one of the people who was hurt through that process, along with all the people that, you know, follow the music, et cetera.
Hans, let me ask you this. So how did your old friends react to your conversion?
Well, it was very, very, I lost all my, pretty much at that time, I lost my friends. I was in a fraternity, a Greek fraternal organization, African-American Greek fraternal organization, and the Lord just convicted me that things were not right, that it was cultic. It was not of him for me to be a part of that. So I left the organization. I let them know that. So I lost those friends, and they were some of my better friends. Then my family, you know, pretty much thought I was just getting too spiritual, whatever, and that I, you know, I had... So for a season, I was not really in relationship with my family either. And so there's a scripture that I kind of, it's a bedrock scripture for me in a lot of areas in life. And the Holy Spirit gave to me during that season, which is, you know, if you leave house or home or wife, though that wasn't married or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you leave for my sake. You know, I will give you a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come, you know, eternal life. And then it says with persecution. So, you know, God has, I've seen the manifestation of, you know, my family, my spiritual family through my church home at New Covenant Church of Philadelphia, through lots of close friends and family in that context. Of course, many of my family has been saved since that. And so,
that's wonderful.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Hans, when I think a lot of people, when they choose to follow Jesus Christ and he finds us,
mm-hmm.
that they think everything is going to be rosy and happy, but your friends and your family actually, this might have been a very lonely time for you. And mm-hmm. how did you get through that lonely time?
Well, you know, it's interesting. During that season, originally, I didn't have a lot of Christian friends. There's a group called Cross Movement. They're a pioneering Christian rap group. Some of them kind of took me under their wing for a season. But even for a season, you know, God kind of allowed me to kind of just go through a lot of things, breaking process, where I really only had him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think with the Holy Spirit, it wanted me to know that, you know, and even if you look at Paul talks about 3 years he was in Arabia and, you know, basically, the Holy Spirit was his teacher. You know, I really was, I'm not going to say alone, but for a season, I really only had the Lord, because he wanted me to know that I cannot trust or put my trust. I can trust to a degree, but I can't place my trust in anyone. But then after a while, you know, he began to bring people in my life,
mm-hmm.
Some ministers from the church to begin to mentor me. But economically, I went through it. Obviously, you know, you go from, you know, having records out, et cetera, to, you know, when you tear that down, you don't have an income. That's your stream of income. And then I became a janitor for a season and just went through a lot of breaking. And there is a pain piece that we don't talk a lot about when people leave, you know, a certain lifestyle or leave friends or leave their support system. You know, just from a common sense standpoint, there's going to be a season of transition
mm-hmm.
where you have to regain and regroup, so to speak.
Hans, I think that in our culture, we hate the quiet times. We love stimulation. And I think mm-hmm. that as Christians, God must bring all of us through mm-hmm. quiet times where we have to train ourselves to listen to him, because probably even though you were without friends and family during that time, and we've all gone through different things like this,
mm-hmm.
but exactly as you said, that's the time when you have to throw yourself at Jesus Christ's feet. Mm-hmm. And you have to listen to him, and you have to wait. You have to wait and be patient, which I have the worst time trying to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
So let's fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a production company, Jesus Saves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are doing rap songs, and you are doing, you're on YouTube, and you have albums out. What do we call them?
Mm-hmm.
Albums, CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, how many songs, how many CDs do you have, and how many songs are out there right now?
Okay, so the production company is called Fisherman, Fisherman Entertainment. That's the music as well as Hollywood Media. And then there's Fisherman Films, which is the film branch. So a couple of the CDs have been called Jesus Saves, and our mission is to lift up the name of Jesus and the arts, and lift up the person and the gospel and the cross and the grace of Christ in the arts and media, et cetera. We have done 5 albums. I'm working, currently finishing up the 6th project. And, you know, it's all to edify the body of Christ, but of course it's evangelical in that we are reaching the urban context in a way that they can relate to. And, you know, coming out of secular hip hop, you know, you see the need for young people to have edifying art, edifying music, things that can speak into their life. You cannot always have a person discipling you. Like I tell people a lot of times, when I was young, I didn't really have a mentor, so to speak. So a lot of the people, and I didn't have a pastor because I was in church. And I hate to say it, but a lot of the rap artists were my pastors. And it's just that they were the ones speaking into my life. And, of course, the information they were giving me was incorrect and destructive, or half-truths, which many times can be more destructive than a full lie. When we see the full lie, at least we can kind of see it as a lie, but half-truths will send you down a path of destruction quickly. And so, you know, we want to give them information about the God who died for them, Jesus Christ, and how they, you know, can have a fulfilling life. There's a purpose for them. And also kind of to watch some of the pitfalls out here that the enemy sets up for them. There's a scripture that says, have no fellowship with darkness, but rather expose it. And that's one of our missions. We know how music has really jacked up our young people, so to speak. And we just want to kind of let them know, like, everything that looks as entertainment is not just innocent. It can really hurt your life. And you got to be careful what you're feeding your mind, your emotions, your spirit, if you're saved. And you know, that's pretty much what we're trying to do.
I have little girls, and I'm trying to train them that there may be an artist who has one nice song, let's say, Hans, but there's 10 really, really bad songs. Well, we don't support that.
No, you don't want to support that.
Because, as you
the
said...
one song. I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah. As you said, it's dark. I love that you're so unabashed about Jesus Christ. I love that Jesus Saves is right there in the title. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how are young people that probably know nothing about Jesus, except for maybe negative stuff, how are they reacting to this, Jesus Saves?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'll say it two ways. I remember one time we were doing a record with the Dixie Hummingbirds, a legendary gospel group. The guys that are, you know, Pop Tucker just passed. He was in his 80s. And we were rehearsing over there in 22nd and Lehigh. And I was coming out the rehearsal, you know, with the Lord just, you know, walking down the street, and I saw a couple of young kids, and I said, hey, man, do you believe in Jesus?
That's okay. We're going to talk about the fact that you're, we're going to talk about the fact that you're a school teacher later, but let's stay focused here.
Yeah. So basically, I was coming out of the rehearsal, and I saw a couple of young kids, young boys, and I said, hey, you know, do you believe in Jesus? And they said, Jesus? They said, yeah, I've seen Jesus on TV. He's on Channel 48, right? So they were talking about TVN. What I'm saying is a lot of kids don't even really have that much of an understanding who Jesus is. Some do and some don't. And because we live in a media culture, they'll believe anything they see.
That's right.
That's one thing. So it's critical that we expose him, that he is magnified, so that they get an opportunity to believe. Because they believe in Jay-Z. They believe in Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in these things that they see. It's big. It's real. It's bigger than life. And because media, in a sense, is a supernatural thing in that you see a vision, it's a pseudo-supernatural. It's imperative that we expose them that way. But to get back to your question, kids, you know, some young people, they respond in a mocking way. Some young people respond where they're just hungry, they're starving, they're asking questions. You know, I teach and kids ask me a lot of things. They go online, they see my videos, and they're open to it. They're very open. And as a society, we have done them unjustly because we have not, in many ways, corporately, maybe in some homes, but as a society, we have not exposed them to things that they're rightfully due. They should be rightfully due an opportunity to know about the God that created them.
Yes.
They should be rightfully due to know that there's certain things that they need to watch out for, and there's certain ways that they can avoid hindrances and pain in their life. They should know about these things.
Absolutely.
And society is kind of we've dropped the ball on them.
Absolutely. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. So let's move up now to your song, because we are going to talk more about exactly what you said. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of, you know, what is society teaching our kids? They're teaching them that sex before marriage is awesome. Go out and get as much of it as you can. Now, after marriage, it's not that great. That's an absolute lie. And I'd love to get your opinion on all of that. But let's go back to the song that a friend gave to me, and we already played it. And I just want to talk about some of the wonderful lyrics that you speak life into. Your abortion song. What's the title of that? Is it called The Abortion Song?
It's called Anti-Abortion.
That's
subtitled,
right.
Tears from the Womb.
Okay.
And basically, it's an unashamed, pro-life song that does not in any way condemn a person that has had an abortion, because we know that, first of all, we just want to make sure that that's clearly stated, that, you know, God is a God of forgiveness, and there's mercy when people ask for forgiveness of sins. You know, God is a forgiving God.
Absolutely.
So it's not a song to throw condemnation at anyone. It's not a religious song. It's a song, it's a Christian-based song, grace-based song that affirms the rights of the unborn children. And being that my mom is Swedish, my dad is African-American, and, you know, I deal a lot with the urban context and ministering to people of color, which I am, you know, we saw that there was a lack of a voice in that particular context. So, I believe the Holy Spirit led us to write this song to kind of reach the urban context and in general, any context, just to let them know, hey, man, you know, this child that you're saying is just a fetus or it is much more than that. God sees them as a person. They have tears. They feel pain. There's a dream for them. You know, the same child that you may be thinking about aborting may have the very cure for a disease that you may acquire later on in life.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to throw this child away because you're going through a tough time in life right now, or because you're hurting right now, or you don't see an option out. There are ways. There's adoption. There's different ways that you can resolve this, but not have the guilt in your conscience later on in life to take a life of an innocent person who God has big dreams for.
Yes.
And then just the pain that it brings to society. You know, we have, you know, in the African American context, we have a certain amount of people that live in the United States, but 25% more African Americans would be alive today if abortion had never occurred.
Yes.
And that's just, I'm not just speaking to that context, all contexts, but a lot of times we don't address this as a racial issue, because sometimes it can be.
Right.
And
it's happening all over the board, but there is no doubt that our precious African-American friends mm-hmm. are being targeted. I mean, I think there's 15 Planned Parenthoods or 15 abortion mm-hmm. clinics in North Philly alone, mm-hmm. and there's only one crisis pregnancy center, which is mm-hmm. HOPE, which Herb Lusk started. So that, yeah, so that is wrong to feed on these precious girls and these men and these boys. And I love your whole entire song. I encourage everybody to go online and listen to it multiple times. But when I listen to it, Hans, you have touched on every argument that people say, but what about rape? But what about my boyfriend saying this? But what about if I have a child with special needs? And you're touching, and I love the line that says, it is not your body because it belongs to God. And I think that you touch on something there. You know, these women that they might feel, first of all, we know the statistics and the research do share with us that women that do have abortions, usually they are in abusive relationships, or they have been abused. So for these women, you're saying to them, this is not your body. It belongs to God. You belong to somebody. You belong to somebody awesome and powerful. He's the creator of the universe. You belong to him. Now think about what you want to do with your body. And that's my favorite line in your song. I'll just share that with you. But tell me what it's been like to be the voice of the voiceless. Have you been hated? And tell me about the beautiful part, too. Tell me about the beauty in it. Because, listen, I'm here right with you. There's people that speak out against me, and then there's people that love what I do. And I will still speak the truth, and I know that you're right there with me. You're holding my hand through this.
Well, a lot of times people can look at that as a very, you know, like even Christians can look at that as a very touchy topic to talk about. And they can frown upon you discussing that. And that to me is part of the piece you have to go through. You know, you just have to deal with that. I've been through situations where I've done the song in a school and been asked to leave. You know, and obviously that's not a comfortable feeling.
Sure.
You know, I've talked about it in family settings and other things where it gets very heated. And I've learned to, you know, I don't want to force anyone to do anything. However, I realized that, you know, if a person was bought a gun and was getting ready to shoot somebody, that there's a certain type of a posture and a certain type of urgency that we should take. And I think that's kind of what I feel when it comes to this issue, because I think it's unjust for those that don't have a voice to speak up. So if I'm in a situation where I know somebody is going to participate in an abortion, I would do everything under the sun that I can to try to talk them out of it, because I know the pain that it's going to cause them, and I also know that the child will not have a life in this life. I mean, I believe that they go to be with the Lord, and you know, but however, regardless, you know, they didn't have an opportunity to even fulfill their purpose, which God gave them and created them for.
And we can talk about
some of the things.
We can talk about Planned Parenthood and the liberal media that is sharing with our children that, you know, it is just a fetus. I recently read an article in some trashy women magazine, because I have to stay up on, you know, I read the good and the bad. But the other side had a woman, they actually videoed her having an abortion. And while she's having the abortion, she was saying, it's really just like having your wisdom teeth taken out. And she was giggling and laughing. That is a lie, Hans. And let me share.
Very sad.
It's sad. It's sad for that woman. It's sad for her child. It's sad for the future grandparents and the father of that child. It's sad for everyone. But it's even sadder for the girls that watch that and believe that lie. And, you know, I know that you're married, and, you know, I have three little girls. And as a woman, I will tell you that at 12 weeks, I felt that child kicking inside of me. It is a life inside of there, and we have science to back us up now. In 1970, in the 70s when Roe versus Wade came through, we did not have science to back us up. So, you know, you could see that these young girls are believing what Planned Parenthood is telling them, but we have science now. We always had God that told us that he created every life, no matter how small, perfect in his image. However, we have science now, and I have my own personal experience. I had two miscarriages. I was connected to my babies immediately. My husband was connected immediately. My parents were connected, and then God chose a different path for those two precious babies. So I feel a need to connect with other women who are trying to make a decision and to decide if that is a real life, a child with a soul inside of them. Go ahead.
I just think two things. One thing is, as far as the, you know, the connecting with the child, there's a scripture that talks about, I think David says, I was sharing at a church recently, and it says, from my mother's womb, he learned something from his mother's womb. And it just lets you see how, you know, even in the womb and even from birth and even before that, there's a connection there between mom and child.
Absolutely.
And so we have to definitely respect that. We have to teach that. We have to, you know, when you deal with music and things like that, there's a whole lot of imagery and subliminal messages that affirm abortion. And young kids don't even really understand what they're getting themselves into. If a girl's 15, 16 years old, I remember teaching at a school and a young lady came to me. I'm a health and PE teacher. She came to me and said, hey, I can't participate. No, she said, I can't participate in PE today. She's an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And the other two friends were there kind of consoling her. And then finally she says to me, the other girl said she just had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart was just wrenched. And I thought about, this is a 7th or 8th grader, and she doesn't even understand the magnitude of this decision.
No, she doesn't.
And
she's a baby.
I'm sure nobody was even there to even really counsel her properly about the seriousness of this. Because, see, what happens is, and I'm feeling the passion of this right now, what happens is that society affirms something as correct and right, and it becomes legalized, and I work with young people enough to know this, their conscience becomes warped and bent to seeing this as right versus that. So whether it's about a marriage rights issue, whatever it is, they'll start to line up on one side versus the other based on what if they will. This is legal or this is illegal. And something that's right will become wrong, and something that's wrong will become right in their eyesight based upon the way society views things. And
that's
critical.
Right. They get
it's
a really seared conscience. I believe that's talked about in the New Testament. They get a seared conscience. And, you know, I want to share with you also that, you know, you were sharing that you use the analogy of someone had a gun and they were going to use it. How would you respond? I always share with people that, you know, during our civil rights movement here in this country, you had people that would say, listen, I would never own a slave. But if somebody else wants to own a slave, I cannot make that decision for them. They need to have that choice. Well, can we not use that same analogy? Praise God that there were Christians like William Wilberforce and other great men that said, God made everybody in his own image. It doesn't matter shape, size, color. Doesn't matter economic background. He loves everyone. And thankfully, you know, we won that war. We do not have slavery here anymore. I feel like abortion is the same thing. We have people that are saying, because I talk to all of my girlfriends, and I personally believe that abortion may always be legal in this country, but the day is coming, Hans, where people, we are going to change their consciences. God is going to change their consciences. They're going to understand that just like it's important to save the trees and the whales, it is more important to save the smallest life. And so when my friends say to me, you know, Carla, I would never have an abortion myself, but I think it's really important that a woman just has that choice. I always use that analogy going back to our Civil War that wrong and we have to stand up for it, even if we're unpopular.
See, this is the young person, or I had that same conversation, somebody says that to me, I'm like, well, if somebody had a gun and they were going to take somebody else's life, would it be they should have a right to choose that or not? No, they don't have that right to do that. And the law makes it so that it's illegal for them to do that because they're not just dealing with themselves, they're dealing with somebody else. And that's where it gets tricky and with the unborn, those that have not been born yet, is they are a human being. And I think part of the challenge is that people have tried to do science to dehumanize a child in the womb.
Absolutely. They call it a scab. They call it a fetus. They don't call us mommies and daddies. They absolutely try to dehumanize. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, we had talked about this before, and being in the urban context, so if you say you want to stop violence, say, yeah, we're going to have a violence peace, we're going to have a peace day, we want to cut down on violence, we're going to try to cut down, but yet you're affirming abortion, you're building that up, you're agreeing with the spirit of murder, but yet you're saying you want to stop violence. You can't do that.
That's correct.
You can't. It's not going to work because you say you're closing this door, but you're opening the floodgates in the other door.
Correct.
And you're not only just saying that it's legal, you're saying it's right.
That's correct.
You're saying it doesn't, you know, and now the kids are confused. The parents are confused. Society's confused. And it's going to take people that, you said something about, William Ward before us and people like that. Well, they went to scripture to make decisions. And when we go back to scripture and we see in like Proverbs 30 verse 8 where he says to stand up for, to defend the needy or defend those that have been appointed to death and they don't have a voice to speak for themselves. Whoa, who is more in that category than the unborn? Mm-hmm. I don't know of anybody that would be needy and defenseless and without a voice. So, and you know, obviously Isaiah, you know, before you were in your, Jeremiah, I'm sorry, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I formed you and I called you to be my prophet, my teacher, whatever. And we have to build up kids to understand that. But part of the challenge is going back to God and everything and just affirming his presence. And allowing him to be center and allowing his voice to be heard, because what we try to cut him out, it's going to be difficult, I believe, to educate people on the reality of the need of the situation. And the last thing I'll just say is that I don't know what's going to happen in the future, if our country is going to bend to this or bend away from it. But I do know that we need to be praying and interceding, for those that are in leadership, that their hearts will change. And we need to be praying for our young people and people that are thinking about getting abortions, that their hearts would be changed, because it could just take one word and one conversation, one prayer to kind of change a destiny of a young person.
Absolutely. And I also want to share that for all of our friends who have had an abortion, they can walk into any crisis pregnancy center and feel love. And many crisis pregnancy centers, of which I am aware, have abortion counseling. They will hold your hand and walk you through the healing process, because despite what the world tells us, we do need healing after anything that we do that goes against God's plan. Last, before you leave me, I want to talk to you a little about Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood. Are you aware? Can you share with us? Do you know how that was started?
Well,
with eugenics.
Yeah, it was eugenics, and she was basically trying to, because the Ku Klux Klan was becoming illegal, she was trying to find another way to curb or to lessen the influx of the births of African Americans, and she was trying to silence that context.
That's right.
And so she used eugenics, and actually some people may not know this, one of her this has really shocked me a few months ago as I was doing some studying on it. One of her ways of doing it, one of her strategies, she said you have to find the influential community service-based African American ministers. And if you can get them, get in good with them, then you can get more influence in that arena or that sector. So it's just, it's very
interesting.
Yeah, people don't realize that this is a plan. This is a strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can use, you know, they'll try to get into the head of somebody and say, hey, you know, I want to get some influence here, or this, you know, let's have some talks. Let's talk about this. But there's an agenda there.
Absolutely.
There's an agenda there. And you know who's suffering? The kids that are going to these clinics and the grandparents of these children that would have had grandbabies.
That's right.
And the it's just society has been torn down. And then the other piece is, even in a church, it's a tough topic to talk about. When you talk about it, you understand there's women in the room that may have had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, we have to be sensitive, but there's pain. I mean, people are dealing with, it's not just, it's first of all, to me, it's a moral issue, it's a spiritual issue, it's a right and wrong issue just from the door. But then there's the other context, it's a financial issue. It's costing tons of money in therapy and medication, mental and emotional counseling, psychiatry, for these young ladies or now older ladies that have participated in abortion. It's causing a lot of issues in the community and the gaps and whatnot. So there's no real argument to me that you can stand on to tell me why an abortion should be legalized or why people should have an abortion. I just don't see it. I just believe that God's grace is sufficient in our weakness. He can accommodate us in whatever the situation is. We need to trust him. We need to trust him for who he is, you know, in spite of whatever the situation is, because mistakes are going to happen. Things are going to happen, but making it a mistake or trying to cover up a mistake like David did, King David, is always going to back up in your face. And you see down in his lineage, there was an effect not just on King David, but on his children's children. So let's just think about those things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for giving time today. You promised that we're going to do a part two to this because we did not even talk about your Jesus Saves movie, full feature movie that we are trying to get out. And before you leave me, I want you to just tell me the website where we can go to find everything about Jesus Saves and Fisherman Films and Hollywood Media, because I know that we can also donate to everything that you're doing. We can be a part of something huge. Not all of us can stand outside of Planned Parenthood, you know. Not all of us feel led to go to our crisis pregnancy center, but we can all pray for Hans, and we all can donate something. I mean, don't go and get your coffee this week. Don't go and get your nails done. I want you to go and donate to Hans. So tell us how we can do that, please.
Well, and I appreciate that so much. We appreciate that. They can go to Jesus Saves the Movie. Jesus Saves the Movie. It's all separate words. I mean, all together. Jesus Saves themovie .com. There's trailers, there's links on there, there's a page to donate to this great film, which we believe will reach our young people. It's Urban Missions, but it will reach suburban kids as well, obviously, who are very much impacted by the hip-hop culture. So hopefully they'll get the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, or be developed and discipled in Christ, where they would not even think about getting an abortion because they would feel and know God for himself. And ultimately, that's the critical, most important mission, is that people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before they leave this world.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. Have an awesome day, and we'll chat again.
Thank you so much, Carla, and God bless you and your listeners and your family.
Thank you. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Hi, this is Carla Dedesi from Your Family Matters. I launched on April 4th, Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Please use this book as a tool to begin planting seeds in your child's heart that marriage is best between one man and one woman. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, and other Christian retail websites. Again, this is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters, planting seeds of wisdom in children's hearts with the Julia Learns Children's Book Series.